feel like every fourth wedding I hear Every Breath You Take, the song by The Police that has a terrific guitar riff and might actually be about stalkers, not love. Similarly, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Welcome to 5 More Minutes, a podcast that is now halfway done, because I read the whole text. The thing that is so encouraging about this definition by description of love is that it comes in the midst of a church that was just broken by sin. There are divisions in the church over petty things. Sexual immorality and broken families were running rampant. And I know I just sound like an old pastor to you saying that, sexual immorality. But a guy was sleeping with his stepmom and they were sitting by each other in church. And Paul's like, come on, people. People in the church were suing each other. Paul is saying, pagans don't even do this. Come on, guys. Men and women were jealous of one another's gifts. By the way, this is probably a church of 40 or 50 people, so it's a pretty messy church. If you read Paul's description of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, you get a picture both of gluttony and of a total neglect of poor people in how they were doing it. This is a messy church. And so the definition by description of love is good news, because the messy, jacked-up church goes on because she is purified by Jesus Christ. The other reason it's good news is because you and I get to grow up. That strange part in verses 11 and 12, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." That and the next verse, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known," are one of the many ways that the New Testament reminds us that those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ with our faith, with our heart and mind and decisions, we will grow up in love. We will become better lovers of God and of neighbor because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Not because we're good people, but because of the work of Christ. Not because we really want to, but because God longs for us to be whole, to have peace and joy. And so this definition by description in the midst of a very jacked up church is incredibly good news. Not only because it's in the midst of a messy church, the church was messy back then also, but because of the unstoppably good heart of God, which tells us that we will grow up in love.